I didn't know my dad was a drug dealer. We had like 6 cars in rotation. I didn't know. We had 2 cars that stayed the same, but like other random cars that I'm like, oh, dad got a new car, whatever. I had every pair of Allen Iversons because I didn't like Jordan. I had every pair of Allen Iversons. Like, we went places. He took us out of school to go to like the amusement park. Like, we had a 4-wheeler in the middle of fucking East St. Paul.
Like, were you ripping it down, up and down the streets?
Yo, yeah.
Was like, it a quad?
In the middle of the night. Yeah, 100%. Quad. Like, that's the thing. Like, and it's crazy because growing up in Woodbury, I never knew there was this stigma of like, oh, somebody's from the suburbs. Like, you're a suburban dude or whatever, right? But I'm like, yeah, I live in the suburbs, but we been had money. Like, that's not the thing. It's like, no, what we like had to deal with to have that money. Mm-hmm. And like those traumas and those situations we had to go through. Because it was a lot of shit. Now that I hear stories and like think back to my shit, like there was a car accident story. I'll wait to tell it. But I saw it one way. And then literally my dad telling me what happened. I'm like, oh shit, that makes so much sense.
Dude, it really makes you think too, like your perspective as a kid and your perspective as an adult, two totally different things.
Yeah.
Totally different things. So 100%. I guess that's really why we wanted to bring you on, because this episode is going to be all about just childhood trauma, you know? And obviously like our funny take on, you know, our past experiences, because all of us, maybe except Bean Boy, has all had, you know, funny childhood trauma that we can look back on now and laugh about, you know? Yeah. So we talked a little bit on Instagram, and you had said that you have found out that your house got raided and you thought that it was actually an earthquake.
Yeah.
Run me through that. Like, as a kid, what actually happened? What run us through that day.
I got told, like, that's the thing. I didn't come up with the idea or anything, but we get home from school, and before we went to school, the house was clean. Like, that's what I always remember. My mom always cleaned the house. And so we get back, my uncle opens the door, and everything is on the ground. And it's not like, somebody was looking for something, they made a mess, and they were in a hurry, they didn't want to clean up. It was like, no, TVs were down, dressers were down, shit, drawers were out. Like, there was a dresser drawer in the living room of somebody's room. Like, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And me and my sister look at my uncle who just dropped us off, and he's like, oh, damn. It must have been an earthquake. And I'm like, yeah, that's plausible. That makes sense. I was the why kid growing up. Like, I always ask why. So if you could give me a good reason, oh yeah, I'm bet. I'm smooth. So earthquake.
Yeah, that makes sense. That shakes out.
On the ground, I know what an earthquake is.
I know shit moves. Yeah.
I thought I was smart. I'm like, I know what you're talking about, G. Yeah. But then my sister was always on it. She was smart. She knew, she like listened to the gossip. She knew everything. So she's like, that ain't real. Earthquakes don't happen up here. And he's like, shut up. Yeah, it was an earthquake. and she told me that part, and I was like, I must have not heard that, because I'm like, yeah, it's an earthquake. Well, let's clean up. Like, it's just normal. The house perfectly in shape. Like, just the stuff fell.
So when did you learn, like, something might have been not right about that?
So it really happened in, like, 2 stages. And one, I found out about, like, there's no fucking earthquakes in the Midwest at all. And that was in school, and my teacher was like, yeah, there's fault lines, and I'm like, yeah, I know what an earthquake is. Like, it's 2 fault lines that just, like, shift up and shake the earth, whatever, right? And the teacher's like, yeah, like, but in the Midwest, we have more tornadoes and no earthquakes. We don't, like, there's one maybe in the last 100 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, y'all didn't feel that other earthquake we just had? Like, my house was fucked up. Y'all houses had to be fucked up. And I'm like, maybe since we were on a hill, like, maybe that, like, our house was saved mostly. But I'm like, yeah, everybody else's house had to be fucked up. And she's like, nope, there's no earthquakes up here. And I'm like, that's weird. And so I'm thinking, I'm like, who just came and, like, robbed our house? Like, what the fuck happened? Later on, my dad gets out of prison, and he literally is like, oh yeah, that time when the FBI raided the house, like, I was heated. And I'm like, wait, FBI raided the house? What the fuck did you do? What the hell is going on? And yeah, it broke it down, because that's the thing. When I was younger, I didn't know, like, I saw my dad and then he was not there, like, for a good, I think, month and a half. And I'm, and everybody's acting normal. So I'm like acting normal.
Like, whatever, this is what happens.
Yeah, he's not.
He's the hunter gatherer.
But that's the thing. Like, my dad and my mom worked opposite schedules. So my mom worked during the day. My dad basically slept and I guess did what he did. And, but at night he had a third shift. So he went to work at night. So I'm like, oh, maybe he's just sleeping and I'm not catching him a few times. Mm-hmm. Mm. But then, like, a month or so passes by, I link up with my brother at my aunt's house, because I have a half brother who lived in Chicago. He was born in Chicago. And he finally came up here randomly, or I guess not randomly, because our dad was in jail. But he came up here and I was like, and we're playing PS. This was the most casual conversation. I kid you not. We're playing PlayStation 2. And I look over, I'm like, yo, do you know where dad is? And he's like, oh yeah, he's in jail. And I'm like, oh, all right, but like, because I watched Law and Order when I was a kid. That's one of my favorite shows, shout out Dick Wolf. But like, I knew what jail was. I was like, oh, all right, but he'll be back. Like, they get out at like a certain point. It's not that long. Then I like didn't find out more until I was older. But when I was younger, like in second grade, I was in a federal like courtroom for his hearing. And I didn't realize like how serious that was.
Oh, shit.
I was like, oh, I just haven't seen my dad.
What was it for, if you don't mind me asking?
So basically, drug dealing.
Okay. Nothing crazy.
Long story short, drug dealing.
It's a very complicated story, like 100%, which I'm still trying to figure out, to be honest, because I don't know what the fuck happened. But
okay, so this is, he went to jail after the house got raided, or is this unrelated?
No, yeah, this was like a whole thing. Like, so there was an other case, like, so with the feds, like, people have certain cases on them. So it's not like the feds are the police and they're just trying to find people. They have like certain trails they're going to go on. So I think he was a part of a Fed case already. But then a situation happened where he, my dad also, like, he did a lot of things allegedly. Right?
Allegedly.
Allegedly took some things from some guys. Let's just say that. So he was in the process of taking some things from a guy. And that guy was already being watched by some federal agents.
Oh,
so he kind of got caught up in that shit because he was trying to like do that. So he got caught up with that, but then they kept him there because they started figuring out more. And I think agencies started linking up and being like, oh yeah, we know who that is. And so and that's the fucked up thing, because he says all the time, he's like, I got arrested with nothing on me. Like no drugs, no nothing. Like they just arrested him.
Damn.
And so it's like, damn, like, it's like, maybe you know something, but you can't prove it right then. And so that's the thing, like, my family grew up in Chicago, part of Chicago. I'll just say, like, we rooted for the White Sox.
Okay.
So I don't know about shouting them out or anything, but we rooted for the White Sox. People know what that is. But so he grew up in a certain organization where there was, like, lawyers involved. So he had a lawyer and everything, but at the same time, he tells me, like, in the interrogation room, they literally, and this is how, like, I never thought fuck cops or like fuck the police or whatever. That song is fire though, but I never like thought that, because I'm like, oh, some cops are fucked up, but like the rest of them kind of do what they're supposed to do, I guess. So he said, like, in the interrogation room, they gave him an ultimatum of, you take a guilty plea or they bring my mom into it. And they were going to, my mom just got a job at TCF, and they were going to take her out of our office.
Damn.
Straight up and arrest her.
So he's like,
damn, he took one for the team.
My dad's like, that's the thing. My dad's one of the realest fucking dudes you will ever meet in the world. He's still going through some stuff. Nigga has PTSD. 110. Like, yo, the time he first came home, I was a junior, bro. Like, I come home from high school, right? I see Timberlands, like like kind of my size, like a little bit bigger at the time.
And you're like, what the fuck?
I'm like,
whose
what
boots are these?
Facts. I'm thinking my mom's stepping out and because my mom stayed married to him the whole
yeah,
time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, who the fuck it? Like,
you're like, I'm going to whoop some ass.
I didn't think that.
Oh, okay.
I was like, this nigga's grown. Like,
he's wearing gyms. I'm not doing nothing. Yeah.
Like, I'll fight somebody, but I ain't trying to get my ass.
I'm going to just be mad in the living room.
Facts. Like, that's my mom's decision. Whatever. But I'm definitely telling my dad. But so I go upstairs, I'm like, whatever. I get in the house, nobody, like, it's quiet. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, I know my mom's home, maybe she's sleeping. Go upstairs, her door's open. I'm like, all right, maybe she's sleeping. Go inside my room, take off my backpack, go into my closet. This nigga just pops out like, what's good?
In your closet.
In my closet. Oh, my God.
The ultimate jump scare.
I was about to shit my pants. Because I didn't see this nigga. I haven't seen this nigga in like probably 2 months. Because so when he first got, my dad did 12 years in federal prison.
Damn.
And multiple levels too. He started out in high security prison. And those stories are fucking like, bro, yeah, those stories are crazy. He started out there, moved around because the prison he went to was Leavenworth. That's a pretty
heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a famous prison. And so he started out there, moved around, and then for the last part of his bid, he got to be in Duluth, which is a low security prison. And that's where I would see him like every month. But before that, I never seen my dad. Like, it was just phone calls. So when it was Duluth, like for a couple months, we didn't go up there and see him. So I'm like, oh, okay, he's supposed to get out soon, so maybe, like, no visitation. I did not think one random day coming home from school, I was going to see this man fucking in my closet and being like, hey, what's good? Like, no, not what's good. My heart is dead. Like, what the fuck? But it was a good moment at the same time, too. Like, I was very happy, very joyous, but with the prison process, like, it's not like people just get to come home. Mm. They got to go through a halfway house. And so he got to spend like a few hours with us. And within those hours, it was probably the funniest times of my life. I kid you not.
Just like catching up, hearing old stories from in there, like, whatever.
Like, my dad went into prison at a time where technology wasn't like as advanced.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so it's such like asking him questions. Oh. I use him as a research and development, 100%. Because like, he didn't, when he was going to jail, like the Razor phone was not out.
Yeah.
So
okay.
A flip phone like that, like he had pagers.
Damn. Shit.
So like, yeah. So he wasn't like on the cell phone wave. He gets out. He has like a cell phone and then we take him to Wendy's, right?
Funny. To like order on one of the kiosks? No.
Because this was still back in like, he got out 2012.
I think. Okay, yeah.
So we go to Wendy's, but they put the order on the screen.
Yeah.
They had the screen on there. This man was dumbfounded.
He's like, how do they know?
He's like, what the fuck is that? What do you mean? What is that? Like, that's your order. He's like, you should just be a box and a microphone. I've never seen this in my life. Now I'm like, bro, what is going on? It was such a like, it was a culture shock. 100%.
You're like, wait till you see an iPhone, Dad. This shit's nuts.
He didn't get him. He still doesn't have an iPhone to this day. He will not work it. He has an Android. We started him off small, 100%. Like texting, maybe didn't have internet or anything. He's like, I don't need any of that.
Yeah,
whatever. And it was like a process, 100%. Because even like because I grew up with the only man in the house, boy at the time. But I grew up with my grandma, my mom, and my sister. So I tell people all the time, I grew up with menopause, like regular periods, and somebody first getting their period. Like,
you're all over the place.
I've been through hell, 110% of every degree of people, emotions, and hormones. And so it was weird, like, getting back into that dynamic of, like, father-son. Cause like at the same time, like we had visits, but we didn't really get to know each other. Or
yeah,
who we are.
Yeah, it's not
real surface level conversation.
Yeah, like so it was like really like I just know of you. Like I got to really get to know you.
Mm-hmm. That's wild. What was like? How do you what was the first couple conversations like? Like what do you like to do? What do you do?
No,
for
it
fun?
Was joyous. Cause like that's the thing. I knew who my dad was, but yeah. It was like. I thought my dad, and I like still do 100%. Everybody thinks their dad's like a superhero.
Totally.
They did some crazy shit and it's like, damn, how did you do that? Like, and this, he got out of jail. Like,
oh, jacked.
I kid you. benching like 3-something. Oh my God. And I'm like, yo, I don't think we can have an argument. And we've gotten to a couple of arguments where it got, yo, there's certain tendencies where people who grow up in that lifestyle and a street life,
yeah,
and in prison, you can't do certain mannerisms because it just, he snapped like... goes right back to it. He's gotten way better, 100%.
You said this is also part of his PTSD a little bit, I'm sure.
Oh my, like this man, I remember one time, right? I think I was like 19 still at the house and everything. And I get home later than they probably thought I was going to get home. And I remember I saw the lights, like he plays 2K all the time. I saw the lights of the TV, so I'm like, oh, he's probably up. I get to the door, I park the car, get to the door, and all the lights are off. And I'm like, you just randomly fucking go to sleep?
Shut
like,
everything off?
Yeah, I'm like, that's weird timing, whatever. Open the door, and I'm like, there's something wrong right now. There's something completely wrong. Open the door, he's like, boy, what the? And I'm like, it's completely dark, and I'm like, what the, where are you? Like, what is going on?
He's hiding somewhere.
He turns on the light, he was right behind the door. He's like, I thought you were somebody else. I'm like, oh, God. Fuck, dude. Yo, this nigga could have fucked me up. 100%. Like, I have my head on a swivel all the time, especially him getting out. Like, the paranoia, because prison is real. Like, you have to be, I like to call my dad, like, the Socrates of my life.
Yeah.
100%. Because there's certain knowledge that he has told me.
That, you just can't normally get that, I would
imagine.
Yeah,
you can't. And I don't want to be in that, like, position to have those, like, situations happen where I need his knowledge. 100%. Because yeah. I remember as a kid, like, you think your dad's going to tell you, like, you know what, son? Like, this is how you throw a football and this is whatever, right? No, my dad was like, if somebody put a pillow on your, like, or put a piece of candy on your pillow and you're in jail, you find out who that is and you beat the shit out of them. You don't eat that candy. You don't accept the candy.
What's the candy?
That means you're about to give something up.
Oh, shit.
That's a gift because somebody is admiring you.
So basically be the little bitch.
Basically, or a relationship.
I don't know exactly what the opposite of that would be, but I would say my upbringing is probably about opposite of that as it comes.
What do you mean opposite? So yeah, how'd you grow up?
Fuck. So my mom and dad split up when I was real young, and it was just me and my dad.
Okay.
Like that's how I grew up.
That's interesting.
But he worked all the time.
Okay.
And he was real young when he had me. So, you know,
how drinking old was a lot, he?
Like 19, 20.
Oh, damn.
When I was born.
Oh, you've been through some shit. What are you talking about?
Dude, so, I mean, I can't think of anything as crazy as, you know, thinking like he's hiding in the house when I get home.
Take away the legal. Because, yeah. Like, there's some stories, like, without the jail. Because jail is, like, was a serious thing and has, like, I wouldn't say reformed because some of the stuff is, like, very serious. Like, my dad's been to the hole a lot. And that's some like solitary lockdown. You get 1 hour outside, maybe.
Yeah, that's
type shit. So like he's been through this some shit. So I don't want to say reformed, like that fixed him, but it gave him a lot of time to like rethink the life he was going down. And he has made a lot of changes. Like I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, which is
wild, you said that. Dude, that's even crazier because like so. I mean, just to give some context for people who don't understand how different the life of a Jehovah's Witness is, you don't celebrate birthdays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, yeah. Like no holidays.
Like I don't practice it now to this day, but I still don't celebrate holidays because I just never have.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it was weird only in the sense of like, because in my memory, I remember like school.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's like, shut down.
Well, no, like school is like, my only memory, like outside of school, like people had like, oh, I went to like this park or this party and this holiday party or this birthday party. Like, no, it was school and I went home and then to the hall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't like, I
you
like.
You didn't like hang out outside of school with anyone?
You couldn't, like with Jehovah's Witnesses, you couldn't kind of like associate with people who weren't inside the religion.
Oh, damn, I didn't know that.
So like going to birthday parties, like hanging out with like kids from the neighborhood.
That just didn't happen?
It really didn't happen that much. Like in St. Paul, it was like, and that's the thing, like I like to say like Black Jehovah's Witnesses are different from regular Jehovah's Witnesses because like they treat it like church. And it's like, oh, this is like personally what this religion is to me. Now, there's other Jehovah's Witnesses who have a lot of documentaries about pedophilia in...
I suppose, because it can be, I would imagine, in some small circles, like, really cult-like.
Oh, dude, no, I had a weird...
It's called
like,
a cult.
The Jehovah's Witnesses were weird to me. I told the story on the last pod, actually, dude. They were, like, obsessed with me, man.
What'd they do?
They would just come... Dude, I was like an 11-year-old like, yes, kid. They knew me by name. They would come over and ask for me, and they would come, like, once or twice a week. And
they were preaching.
It was nuts. But it's like, I'm not going to sit here and shit on Jehovah's Witnesses, but, like, why the fuck are they the only one where it's like, no, you must spread this to the world? It's like...
But here's the thing. You got to think of it as a business. It's marketing.
To get more people involved, they have to pay you. Your organization does better or what?
That's the crazy part. It's all donations. Like, and not like pass around or trade donations. It's like, no, there's a box. Whatever you want to put in, you put in. And people put in money. Like that's the thing. I grew up when you go to conventions, because I've been going to conventions in the hall, which is like a kingdom hall, which is like church.
Yeah.
Basically. I've been going to that since I was 2. So I remember growing up, like, you would see Prince. I saw Prince a couple times.
That's fucking awesome, yeah, bro.
Like, Prince was a Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that.
Like, there's a lot of people, like, Cat Williams, Prince, Childish Gambino. Like, there's a lot of people low-key. Like, and this is one of my deepest, like, music secrets. So, I don't care.
We won't tell anyone.
Yeah, yeah. But no, Drake's uncle is a Jehovah's Witness.
Okay.
So he like there's people connected with Jehovah's Witnesses that like are famous, and they, because that's the thing, it is culty. Like, I've gotten to a point where people have like kind of like slapped me in the face and been like, no, you've been in the cult, no matter how nice they were.
like Scientology type of shit.
But it is science. It is exactly like Scientology, but without the science fiction.
Sure.
Or I don't even want to say science fiction, but like they got
without the fake shit.
I don't know. Like, hey, I'm not here to shit on anybody's religion.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I love history and
Tom Cruise. I like Tom Cruise.
Good movies.
I've never seen Mission Impossible.
Oh, dude, those I never have either.
Because like when he was in Top Gun, I saw a bunch of memes about that.
Yeah, yeah.
About the volleyball scene though, so I was like, Tom Cruise, all right, you got it.
Yeah.
Top Gun slaps. You've seen Top Gun?
I haven't seen Top Gun.
It's good.
Mission Impossible, fuck all that.
Old Top Gun or the new Top Gun?
Both.
Honestly, I like the old one more. I thought it wasn't a nostalgia thing for me. I watched them both back to back.
Really?
I think the old one was way better.
So this now seems a lot more fucked up than it did at the time. But my cousin and I, so we have like I'm sure it's everywhere. I guess I don't know if they all do it, but like the door-to-door... Couple people knocking on everyone's door in town, like recruiting, you know, or Mormons. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I guess that's a good question. Was that Jehovah Witness or Mormons that would like knock on your door?
Jehovah Witness.
Okay,
they got the big church on.
Yeah.
Witnesses are bigger.
Okay, so
Mormons were our ops.
They would like show up at my house. We live in the country, so like you can see my driveway was like 100 yards long, so like we could see someone pulling in. way ahead of time, and it was always in these like busted up minivans, and it was like
you gotta hold a lot of people.
And so two of these guys would get out, and they'd always stand at my front door, and they'd just be sitting there knocking. And if it was me and my cousin, like they're chilling for the morning or whatever, no one would be home, my dad would be working, we would like open the windows and like start fucking with them, be like, all hail the devil. Whispering out the windows and running around the house, you know. And they would sit out, they were persistent. They would sit out there for a while.
They're like, yeah, we're about to change.
Yeah.
They don't leave. They literally just, they knock and they stay.
Yeah, they would not leave. They knew I was there.
My advice, like, not dealing, because sometimes some people need it. I don't know what religion people are, whatever. I don't want to stop their motion because that's their money. Because people don't realize that business-wise, like, the religion's the religion. The business side of that shit, yo, they make money.
Do they actually convert people over? Does that actually work?
Yo, yes.
Really?
100. Oh, yeah.
Like, and people with actual, like I remember in my Kingdom Hall, there's a dude who used to be in a motorcycle gang.
Damn.
And, like, a pretty high up position in a motorcycle gang. So, like, he was making money. And we had accountants, we had lawyers, we had doctors. Like,
damn.
That's the thing. Like,
how many people were in your, like, you know, section, your
hall?
It
depends, because, like, so I went to the hall in Oakdale. So that hall houses three congregations at that time. So it was they kind of treated it in districts. Mm-hmm. So Oakdale had the Oakdale like population, but then also what was it, Mounds Park population, or the Maple Grove kind of.
Okay.
And they went to meetings at different times. And then we also had a Spanish congregation that just purely spoke in Spanish.
Damn.
So you're all three different sections in the same place at different, like different days different, you have the yeah. place?
Different or days what? And times. So like, so when I was younger, we had to go 3 times a week. Like my, this was my schedule growing up. Monday, you go to school, you come back, you study for the Tuesday meeting. Tuesday, you go to school, you go to the Tuesday meeting. Wednesday, go to school, study for the Thursday meeting. Thursday, you go to school, you go to Thursday meeting.
When you say study, you have like a test that you have to do?
There's like, so have you seen the Cat Williams interview?
With Shannon Sharp?
Yeah.
I did, but I didn't watch all of it because I didn't hear him talk about Jehovah's Witness.
So there was a clip that he said he read over like 20,000 books or whatever.
Yep. He said that on Rogan too.
Oh, did you watch the Rogan
one? Yeah, I did watch the Rogan
one. I love the Rogan one, 100%. But yeah, that's probably true. 110%. Like just
yeah, he alone, said that's all I could do is read books.
Just alone, like just the Jehovah's Witness publication, because I would say publications more, because the Watchtower is kind of like a magazine. So it's like printed, like it could be a book, mm-hmm. but it's printed as a magazine.
Okay.
So it's a lot of literature in it and you have to study it. Like they have questions at the bottom.
Dude.
So it's like a school, like we so there's different levels to it too. And I don't know the politically correct terminology for them, but basically it's like you can come, anybody can come to the hall, but then when you want to get serious, you become a ministerial servant, and that's when you're going out knocking on doors. Like that's a part-time job, then it gets to a full-time job position.
Do they pay you?
No, but they can house you, feed you, and give you like the basic. Damn. Like Jehovah's Witnesses, like that's the thing, I use this in my resume too, like hospitality. I've been learning hospitality since I've been 3. Like Jehovah's Witnesses invite everybody over to their house. They don't
care.
They are like too nice sometimes. And I'm like, yo, you're going to get robbed. at some point, somebody's going to rob you and you're going to learn your lesson and be a little bit less nice. But nothing's happened to a lot of people I know.
That doesn't sound that dissimilar to growing up Catholic, because like I grew up preschool through 6th grade. I went to a Catholic school and... It doesn't
sound...
How was
Catholic school then?
Actually, I mean, I didn't realize like how different it was from regular school, obviously, until I got to public school in 7th grade.
Oh, so you just went to Catholic school.
Like... Preschool through 6th grade, I was Catholic school.
Ah, damn. Is that how they do it out here?
No, so
that was the only way you could do it here, yeah. Oh, okay. There's no like middle school or high school for Catholic school here.
Well, okay. And so there's the Catholic school that he went to that has like... 10 kids in the whole grade, and then
yeah, my like 6th grade graduation, quote unquote, was like 10 kids.
It was a party.
Yeah, it was.
Dude, and then one block away is the public school, which still very small school. I graduated with like 120 kids.
Okay.
But it was weird as fuck because they were like the weird Catholic kids, and they would have to come to our lunch to eat.
We had uniforms. Like we all had to dress in like khakis, tuck in our shirts, either white or blue.
No,
that was it. Like that's all you could wear.
But you had to integrate with the public school?
Because they didn't have their own cafeteria.
That's so weird.
So if we didn't pack our own lunch, we had to do what's called hot lunch. And we'd walk over to the public school and they'd have us at our own table. So like they're like walking us in front of the general population.
You're like, you fucking freak.
I always played like sports. They didn't have their own sports, so I always played sports. So I knew kids at the public school.
Okay.
So like I knew, like I had some buddies when I came over there, you know, I'd be like, hey, what's up? Whatever.
Hey, you were me for like black people.
100%. So I knew people, but they would always yell at me for like talking to the public school kids. Cause like we got to be on our own area. It was the craziest thing. It's so, like legit.
You were the black kid.
I had a real nun for a principal who like, she was a white gal, but she made us call her Hermana Elena, which is like, Sister Helen in Spanish.
Shout out Sister Helen, dude.
Yeah, actually, speaking of childhood trauma, I got a good story about Sister Helen, Catholic. Bro. I remember I went to there. Now going back to the uniforms, they were very strict on like what you could wear, what you couldn't wear. Okay. I remember Valentine's Day. I had to have been like 3rd grade. I come to school. My cousin went to public school, And he was like badass. Like he always had the cool clothes. He could like wear whatever shirt he wanted to. He's wearing like skateboard shoes to school. Yeah. And I'm like, this is so sick.
Or some shit.
Yeah. DC's. Yeah, DC's. Big old blocks. I was like, this is so sick. I wish I could dress like that, you know, whatever. So he had like the spray in temporary hair dye and he had red for Valentine's Day. And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to do that. I stayed at his house that night before. My parents would have never let me. Mm. I sprayed this in. I go to school with red hair. And like a baggy, like vintage McDonald's shirt.
That's fire.
And yo, that's they fire were on shit. My ass right away. Sister Helen grabs me by my neck, brings me to the janitor closet, fills up this like wash tub full of water, holds my head underwater and scrubs my hair out, makes me change my shirt, gives me some like girls polo shirt from the office. And puts me back in class.
That's trauma.
Yeah,
what,
dude.
Fuck anything I'm talking about. What? I'm fighting a teacher.
At the time, I was so scared. I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize what
dude,
I did.
Dude, and this bitch is in full non-uniform.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Literally abusing you.
Straight like, up.
What? No.
Oh she waterboarded God. Me because I dyed my hair red.
That makes me so, because like, that's the thing. I went to school for education. And like I love the youth, like I do a lot of community work and everything, but
sometimes you want to waterboard them.
No, like here's the thing: I have a theory, and it's wild when I say it. Like I say a lot of wild things sometimes, so apologies. But I have a theory and a hypothesis that children are just like terrorists, and the older they get, the closer to Al Qaeda they get.
Yo. It's beyond like, something.
I got two kids. I swear to God. Like, babies are literally like, they don't care what is happening. They want what they want and they will do whatever the fuck.
And they don't negotiate.
If you pay attention to politics right now, they're the Houthis right now. Like,
that's a good point.
Bombing all the ships coming through the Red Sea.
It's like whatever. Fuck it.
Fuck it. Like, we're not scared of you. You got to take care of us. Fuck you talking about. Like, and then as they get older to teenage, they get more diabolical. They'll come they'll
smart about more strategic.
They'll start attacking you as a parent. And that's when it's like, I kid you not, growing up like in Woodbury, or not like growing up in Woodbury, but going to school in Woodbury, and kind of like by high school, I had a few people's houses I went over to. And I felt bad for anybody who had divorced parents, because I witnessed one of my friends, like I was upstairs on Facebook because I had to sneak to other people's house to go on Facebook. My mom was not going for that. And so basically we cooked eggs earlier, omelets or some shit, left the kitchen a mess. And it was a big ass kitchen too. I thought I was on Iron Chef. Like, big facts. These people were rich. And we go upstairs or whatever. His mom comes home and she was a nurse. Just probably got off of like a long shift. Comes in, is like, Cody, what the fuck? And I'm like, if my mom said that, I'm right downstairs. I'm so sorry. Don't hit me. I'm so sorry. Don't hit me. I'm fearful. He goes downstairs. He's like, 1 second. I'm like, 1 second? You're coming back from this? Like, you don't think I should leave? And he's like, no, just stay here. I'll be back. Goes down there. They start arguing.
They're yelling at each other.
Yeah, she's like, clean this shit up. And he's like, mom, I was with my friends. Like, leave it alone. I'll clean it up later. And I kid you not, they kept going. And he's like, mom, whatever. I don't love you.
Oh, shit. Fuck.
And he got quiet. And I shut down the computer. I was like, I need to leave. That's crazy. His mom left before me. His mom left the house. And he's like, oh, you're leaving? I'm like, yeah, I'm leaving. This was a fucking Lifetime movie. What the fuck are you going through right now? Y'all need to talk.
Holy
110%.
Shit. Oh, yeah.
My mom would have beat my... As soon as she walked in that house, she would have been like, come downstairs. Your friends can go. Quiet, calm.
I'll call. Yeah.
Then all of a sudden they're gone. It's fucking
like even
gone.
So speaking of trauma stuff, I wasn't old enough to even realize this stuff, but my dad tells me a story about my mom, 100%. And my mom basically, she stuck up a couple of dudes that my dad knew, who needed to spend some time at the house. And my mom had a couple rules that they didn't follow. And my dad was like, yeah, I came home and I saw your mom. She had the piece. And I saw them in the corner. And they're like, hey, Reese, Reese, like, stop her, stop her. She's like,
allegedly, right?
Allegedly. Like, them niggas ain't talking. Imagine going to the police for that shit. Like, your ass is not talking. Nobody believing that shit. My mom was like, I told them to get out. They got to get out. And my dad was like, yeah, you didn't follow. Got to get out. I didn't know shit about my. Yo, my mom used to beat people up when she was younger and stuff.
Damn.
Because my mom was an athlete. Like, she's not going for anything. So, yeah, like, nah, both of my parents, that's the craziest part. Like, I'm realizing, like, I'm hearing these stories after, like, I graduate high school.
Your mom sounds like a powerful woman.
I'm still scared of my mom to this day.
Dude, I would be.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't condone, like, beating your children at all. Like, we don't, nowadays, like, children don't need that. You can, like, actually parent. But now knowing like what my parents were dealing with and like what they were going through and like all the stuff they were going through, I'm like, okay, I get why like me asking for something was annoying as fuck. Yeah.
It's like we're trying to pay the electric bill and
we're trying to not get arrested. That's if the money part wasn't a problem until after my dad went to jail. And then kind of the money slowed up but that's the thing, my mom's like a genius. Like my mom is one of the hardest working people I've ever witnessed in my life. And that's how I think I've like even began to cope with a lot of this trauma is because like, oh, I knew like my mom was also going through it. Cause as I was like going through it with my dad in jail, like I would hear my mom cry. And that's a crazy thing.
Yeah, that's
to
why
your parent like break down.
Do you remember the first time you ever heard your parent cry?
Oh yeah.
Mom or your dad?
Oh dude, I don't remember.
I when I've gotten older, I've seen my dad cry in conversations and stuff. But like when I was younger, that nigga, he was Superman, 110%. Like that
stone face.
He was the toughest, the heart. Like nobody could beat my dad. I would walk around school and be like, my dad can beat up your dad, 110%. I wasn't going for shit. Big fact. But like at the same time, like hearing my mom cry or like even my sister or grandma and stuff, it's like. That's a different tone. Like,
it's a powerful thing.
Because it was hard. Like, when you say, like, when the first time I heard it, like, I think in, like, third grade, that's when I did see my mom break down and hear her cry. And I'm like, I need to get a job. Yeah. Like, I remember, because I used to like the comics in the newspaper. So I read the newspaper a few times. And I'm like, oh, they got jobs in here. So I'm looking through the job list and be like, yo, I'm the man of the house. Everybody keep telling me this. Like, I gotta get a job. And all of a sudden I'm like, they're not hiring anybody.
You're writing your resume with a crayon.
Yeah, facts. Like, I'm like, what did I think I was gonna do? Like, especially in like East St. What, I'm gonna walk to a corner store and be like, give me a job.
Yeah.
I'm ready to work. Like, this ain't 1960. Like,
yeah,
what
that's
the fuck?
Actually what. So I grew up in a family business. My dad owned a hunting club, bar, and restaurant. Still does to this day. But I got put on payroll when I was like 6 years
That's
old.
Fire.
I'm working for like $1.50 an hour at 6 years old. Literally getting a paycheck, like a printed paycheck. So my dad made me deposit it, half of it in a bank account and then I could keep half. So it was like $5 every 2 weeks.
If this was like
whatever.
A music reference, you would be the independent artist actually making their money.
Yeah, right.
And I would be the nigga who got signed to a record label with a 360. Because I cared about every little toy. Like I was like, buy me this. And I grew up like, that's the thing. I tell a lot of people, especially with photography, I'm like a different type of photographer. I like to call myself a photo artist. But in the realm of I need money, I'm a photographer. But
right.
Yeah. So I tell people though, like when you like approach me and stuff and like are mad about something, I'm going to treat it professional. But when it gets to a point of pettiness, I'm going to be petty back. I didn't grow up like that. That's the thing. Like I grew up like, even my dad telling me, I grew up counting like $100,000 in cash of this nigga's re-up money.
Damn.
Like, holy this shit.
He's like, yeah, money counter's down. I don't, like, I need people to help. He had a lot of kids, so we helped him out count
but,
his money.
You like, know, as obviously that's not a normal thing, but like, I think growing up like that, you realize that like money is just a tool to get what you want. Like, facts. You're not going for the money, you're going for what you can do with the money.
Yeah, which
and
you
I think a lot
want.
Of people don't see it that way, you know? So I think that gives you a valuable outlook on it for sure.
Yo, yeah, because like that's the thing. Like I wanted money, but it was for something. Like
yeah, you don't just want to
harbor money.
I want to do something that money can do. Let me do.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Get something that money will let me get.
Exactly.
Not necessarily.
It was
money.
Like that thing. Like and when I was younger, I had a stealing problem, 110%, and I wasn't smart enough to steal actual like valuable shit. I stole candy. Like that was my
okay.
Candy was my shit. Hollywood Studios was one of my marks. Stole candy all the time. The school stole candy from the teachers, Jolly Ranchers, if they had that in there. I was a bad kid. Like I'm so like it's
weird. I wonder why. like you were set up that way.
Yo, so I got suspended in like second grade for like 3 days.
Okay.
And it was because like at recess, and it was a kid I knew too. He took my ball, and I like basketball, not like NBA or anything, but I like playing basketball. And he took my ball, and recess wasn't over, so I'm like, "Yo, give me my ball." And he's like, "No, like we're about to go inside." And I'm like, "What? Yo, give me my ball. We're about to finish our game. Give me my ball." He's like, "No." I'm like, "Give me my ball, or I'm gonna kill you." And like at first, I was like, "I'm like." And he just dropped the ball. And I'm like, thank you. And went about my day. Later that day, I got called in the principal's office. My mom was heated.
Damn.
I was suspended and everything. I remember this is when I found out I couldn't spell. Because at Battle Creek, they made you write like what while you were in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't spell U. Like I knew the word, like the letter U. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know how to spell U. So I'm like frustrated. I couldn't tell my side of the story. Because I'm like, yo, he took my ball. But I couldn't express that. So, yeah, I got suspended.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually at my Catholic school. I was the first person to ever get in-school suspension and the first person to ever have out-of-school suspension. I almost got expelled.
Damn.
How
what'd
the
you do?
Fuck did you do that?
Fifth grade. Curb stomped a guy's head on a tree trunk. Or a tree root that was coming out of the ground.
Yeah, did you fuck him up at least?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Full on fist fight on the playground.
Curb stomp.
Yeah, you fucking
wait, so we were playing tag. We were playing tag. And this dude comes up to me and just shoves me hard, like way too hard, like aggressive. And I was like, you're not going to do that to me. So I like shove this dude straight to the ground. His head lands right next to this like tree branch, you know, and I, boom, it just... Kicked right onto the tree.
Was it like a pure rage stomp?
Like, oh, pure rage!
Like dude, you didn't even think about it. It
hard.
Just, dude, it's crazy.
Straight up, I'm in khakis and a tucked in shirt, and I'm committing war crimes out there on the playground.
The nun's probably looking at you like Satan,
dude. Sister Helen, Sister Helen was pissed.
Yo, you need to ask your dad what he did, because yeah, you got some shit. He went through some shit, 100%. I don't know what the fuck he went through,
dude.
It came out in you.
Like, right.
That's what I realized. Yeah, like, because I got this in St. Paul, you had to, at the time, you had pink slips. And if you got 3 pink slips, it added up to a detention. From kindergarten, I was getting pink slips. Or no, from half of kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, all in when I was in St. Paul, got pink slips every fucking day.
Like and you get something. Detention after you get so
after
many?
After 3. So I would have 1 detention like a week, but then some weeks I would have 2 because then they would just add up.
That's not terrible.
I mean, yeah. The
in elementary
that's not
school,
terrible?
Though, bro.
But my parents needed a babysitter. So like, because before I was like, when I got suspended, I also went to the after school program. So my mom was so pissed because I couldn't go to the after school program still and she still worked. So, like, she had to take off work to make sure I was
oh,
at
damn.
Home.
Oh, I'm sure she was pissed.
Ah, yo. See, I was such a, like, I was a bad kid. And it's bittersweet because, like, I would never want my dad to go to jail. But since my dad went to jail, it did flip a lot of my trajectory of life.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, the way I was headed, it was not good. Because I, like... Even to this day, I think about it, and I'm Tobias, wherever you are in life, I'm so sorry. I was a bully, 110%, and this dude snitched on me from stealing a bag of Jolly Ranchers from the teacher. I got in so much trouble.
And so you're like...
I caught this nigga in the hallway and beat the brakes off this dude. I kid
hell
you not.
Yeah.
And, I, like,
yeah.
And I feel so bad, but like I'm like, yo, like I was a bad kid. But at the same time, I was a focused kid because like I played Yu-Gi-Oh! On the bus. Like I had all, I had obelisk.
Hell yeah.
I had
Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Yes, like or no, no. Hell I didn't yeah. I had the three gods. So obelisk and like the gold one and the red one or whatever.
Yeah.
Cypher and like
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't remember the names of them, but yeah. I had a ripoff one, a fake one.
Yo,
fake
I red had, one. And I think I probably had ripoff ones. But I thought I was like, yeah, these are real. Give me the sleeve. Like, beating people in Yu-Gi-Oh.
100%. Dude, what was the bus like in St. Paul? Like, is it? Because the bus around here was pretty fucking wild, dude. Like, I rode my, I live way in the country, or at least my parents did growing up. Mm-hmm. So I was on the bus for an hour, dude. And shit would go down on that motherfucker.
An hour?
An hour, dude.
What the fuck?
So, like, was it, did it get wild and on your bus, or was it pretty tame? Shit.
So in St. Paul, like, I don't know. Like, that's the thing. It was, like, rowdy. But people didn't want to die. So there was no seatbelts or anything. And I was a small kid. Like, I was super short until I hit a growth spurt in, like, kind of high school. So I was very, very small. So I'm in the back of the bus. We're trying to play Yu-Gi-Oh! In a, like, a bus seat. So looking up, there was kids probably jumping around, but it wasn't anything like crazy serious because we didn't have that much time. If we had an hour on the bus, yeah. We're,
I guess you were probably all elementary school kids too, weren't you?
Yeah,
because my bus would be elementary school, middle school, and high school kids.
That's illegal.
And you learned some shit.
Dude, that's where you learned
some fucking shit.
Every bad thing that you knew, whether it be stories, pictures, you know, language, the older kids whatever.
Like, oh, this is funny.
Yeah. Oh, dude, 100%.
Jokes, like, that's where we got all our jokes.
Y'all got PTSD probably.
Uh-huh. Dude, I used to have like, it was like, we kids called them the crazy, penny though. Wars. It was all the elementary school kids versus the high school kids, and that's how I learned how to flick pennies.
Wait. It was the elementary kids versus the high school kids?
Yeah, dude, but we had way more of us, because once the high school kids, you know, get their license, they're gone. So it would only be like,
trickle off.
Still, it'd be like 8th through 10th that were on there, and it was the fucking penny wars, dude.
My bus, we had a thing called Schmeckle, and I don't know how it got its name, but if someone wasn't paying attention, you basically had a free pass to like slam their head against the window as hard as you could.
What the
fuck?
But you had to yell Schmeckle for some reason. I don't know what the deal was with that.
You
had to be on guard at all times and back to the wall sort of thing because someone was going to fucking smack your head against the window.
Schmeckle your ass.
I kind of had that in like middle school. Like, and kids were weird. Like, I never realized how... I was a pure kid in St. Paul. Like, I cared about kid shit. As soon as I went to school in Woodbury, I kid you not, I learned what a blowjob was. I learned what sex was. People
wild
were saying
day,
shit.
Dude.
I'm like, what is wrong with these people right now? 110%. But, like, in, what was it? I think in middle school, we had a game called, I forgot the name, but basically you had to protect your nuts. People were just coming around, just straight up punching you in
sack
the fucking
tap.
Sack tap. Yes.
Or the corn dog from behind. Fucking
rhino hump, dude. We called that rhino hump.
That fucking hurts so
bad.
Wait,
hold on.
They like knee you in your
from
tail.
Behind.
When they come back right,
I don't like
fucking
the name
ass.
I would not play that game.
It hurts.
Sack tap was like, oh, maybe whatever.
Will Bean Boy would run all over the playground and be like, you want to play corn dog?
You were excited.
Get me first.
I'm in. No, but that was serious because like some teachers stopped us because like I swear to God, probably some people can't have kids.
That was actually okay. So a child like a game like that was one of the reasons why I got in school suspension one time at the Catholic school was we would always pants each other, you know, and you always have like some of those friends that don't understand you can't do certain jokes in front of certain people.
Yeah.
So actually we were in the bathroom and there was this like unconfirmed, we didn't really know at the time, but he was special needs, definitely a learning disability of some sort.
Oh, okay.
In the bathroom, and one of my friends like pantsed him while he was peeing, you know.
Oh, that's honorable.
And I would like picked him up and was like, he while he's still going, you know.
So what?
Picked him up. And he's just like,
yo, we need an investigation.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Pine City education system, 100%.
And so,
we need an investigation.
Obviously, this what is a the? Serious thing.
Yes.
You know, like, everyone knows.
I hope so, dude.
Because at the time, it didn't seem near as serious. But now looking back, it's like, okay, not only is that already fucked up, but this is like a basically a special needs person. You know, not very high functioning as kids. No, we couldn't tell, you know, but
hey, Jesus Christ. There should be no downgrading special needs people.
But what I'm saying is like because definitely more vulnerable.
Oh, yeah. They're smart.
In a scenario like
they're gullible.
That.
They're more gullible.
Right. Like, yo, yeah. So, you know, after that whole deal, my buddy was like verge of getting expelled, and his mom actually worked at the school, and she like brought it to like the church, who, you know, obviously owned the school. And so he had to meet with like the dean, like the head of the church, and, you know, explain why he was sorry.
Was there any weird like church things that ever came out?
Like what? Like priest touching boys and shit? I don't think so.
Okay. Around here.
I was an altar boy, so I would know.
Yeah, you laid a guy your ass.
Ain't nobody getting a blowjob from the priest unless it's me, okay?
I was trying for years.
Like, I'm first up.
I tested that motherfucker. Yeah, me and my dad, we used to play this game. When he was driving, I would just hand him beers throughout the entire
time. Oh, my God.
Dude, I swear to God, I did not realize how fucked up it was. But I was just a little kid in the back seat, and he'd be like, hand me another one. And he'd have a little ice cooler in the back. Dude, I swear to God.
You said a game.
And then he'd make me stash him in the back, too.
New high score. Hey,
you want to hear a car story, though?
Absolutely.
He's fucking crying, dude.
Because that's a dad. That's a real dad, man. You want to play games?
How fast can you hand me a beer while I'm driving?
Oh, fuck.
If my dad never went to prison, I would be in some shit right now. So when I was younger, right, and I remember it was this long-ass four-way intersection, and we got in a car accident. But it wasn't a big enough car accident to be like, oh, the car is totaled. Like, the car still worked. From my memory, we get in the car accident, adults are talking, we get out, and we get into the other car.
Like the dude who hit you's car?
No, like my, like somebody.
You had another car with you, or someone else pulled up?
Yeah, somebody else pulled up. I don't know if it was my mom or somebody else, but they pulled up with our other car.
I thought you were hopping into the guy that hit you's car. What the fuck is going on?
No. So we hop in the other car, but then my sister, like, there was a razor blade in the back. And so she split her knee open.
Oh, shit.
So with the razor blade?
Accident or on purpose? Because
we were short, so we had to, like, crawl into the back seat. And it was on accident, because I don't think anybody noticed, like, the razor blade in the back. But at the same time, like, that's what I remember from that car accident. Now, years later, finding out what actually was happening and why we had to switch cars, there was guns in the original car that got in the fender bender, so the people didn't want to just, like, settle it, because my dad was like, I offered them cash, but they wanted to call in a police report. And my dad was like, yeah, like, we had a compartment in the car where we put all the guns in. And he's like, nope, somebody has to come bring another car. We need to allegedly put the guns in the car.
Allegedly.
All this is allegedly. I'm lying, actually. But
you're past statute of limitations, anyways.
Yeah, facts. 100%. Yeah, you're good. And he did some time, so.
It's dope.
Yeah,
that's America crazy. That's good on them that they sort of hid it from you in a way, though, right? Like, you had no idea.
I was oblivious, though. That's the thing.
At least they weren't like doing it out in the open.
Own world. Like, that's the thing. Like,
if you're gonna do it, at least hide it from the kids.
They didn't hide it.
Oh, you just had no idea.
I had no idea. I'm
you didn't notice they were moving guns to a different car?
No, I didn't. That's not in my...
You're like, here, put this in your
memory.
Coat quick. Yeah,
like, I might have been a mule at some point.
Hold on to this, like, squirt gun.
Like, and that's it. Like, when I tell people, I didn't grow up, like, I'm not the type of photographer like you think I am. Like, growing up, you probably, like, playing... neighborhood games with friends and stuff and family members. Like, I grew up, like, playing hide and go seek in my house and thinking I found a dope spot, but realizing, no, I found my dad's dope spot. Like, straight up. Like, and I'm thinking, like, oh, it's dusty in here. And the dust was of a angelic variety, 110%. So it's like, nah, this shit was not. We didn't grow up the same. Like, we didn't experience the same shit.
Damn. Yeah, see, this is a real redneck area. So there was a lot of guns around here, but that's just normal.
That's, you know, normal. That's just normal. I didn't
people roll around
that.
With guns in their car all the time.
Registered.
See, I thought Minnesota, when I was younger, was all Hmong people.
Like, really?
St. Paul is all Hmong.
I suppose. South, yeah, yeah. Like, if that's like your perspective.
Up, shout out my Hmong people, 100%. But like, it was, I thought that was the rest of Minnesota because my whole yearbook was Zhang, Zhang, Lee, Lee, Zhang, Zhang. Like,
that's crazy.
That's what it was.
There's actually a lot of Hmong people around here.
See?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because they were, some people were refugees and stuff. And like, I didn't realize like they just came here. I thought they, people were like already here. So, moving out to Woodbury and realizing like how white people lived, and Woodbury is a wealthy like white city.
It's a nice suburb, yeah.
But then at the time I was growing up in it, like it was farmlands. Like some people were wealthy, don't get me wrong, but like other people like were farmers, and like it wasn't like, oh, everybody's pulling up in their Benz. Like by the time I got to high school, it was like that. But yeah, it was like straight farmland. So I was afraid of white people. Like, I kid you not. One, yo, oh my God. In elementary school.
You've come a long way. Thanks for coming here to the studio today.
Oh, this wasn't. This isn't even a drive. 100%. I like Pine City. One time I drove here and I think I was taking the streetways, not even the highway. And I pulled up. And if I was younger, I would have been afraid. But I pulled up and I was like, I think I was in like in a mood or some shit. And I pull up, and on one street, there was, like, pickup trucks all lined up on the street. And I'm like, man, if I was younger, I thought I would have died here.
Was it like a riding, car meet or something?
It was, like, a car show or whatever the fuck. It was, like, all these, like,
just
F-150s.
Big pick-em-up trucks.
Like, and, yeah, and souped-up suspensions and big-ass wheels. And I'm like, this is kind of a vibe. Like, yo, like, they're doing their shit. And if I didn't, like, have, like, two of my best friends, Braden and Caleb, shout out to them, if I didn't have two white best friends, I would not like
you wouldn't understand it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten over my fear because I'm like, yo, they see me, I'm dead. I'm like, they think I'm gonna rob them. They think whatever. But then really, like, actually talking to more white people and not in the Twin Cities, like outside of the Twin Cities,
yeah,
like actual Minnesotans.
It's always crazy when you have a friend that can introduce you to like a whole different culture that you're not used to, you know.
Yeah.
I grew up, so my mom lived in a really small farming town in middle of nowhere, North Dakota, when I was growing up.
Oh, okay.
I'd go visit her every summer. And so when I'd go up there, I have these friends who were straight up, like their parents were straight up from Mexico, and they were just there farming. Like, they would be farmhands in the summertime.
Sending money back.
Yeah. And so, like, they'd have these whole trailer parks of, like, just communities of seasonal workers. Like, just seasonal, you know, just these guys that would come up from Mexico. And they'd bring their whole family. So, there'd be, like, 10 to 15 people living in every trailer, you know?
Damn.
One of my buddies, Jose, good friend, I would go stay at their house, you know? And it was always so fun because, like, me and all his cousins, we'd play Call of Duty together. You know, whatever. It was always super cool. But, so, going to... When I was young in that Catholic school, Spanish was a part of the curriculum, you know? So like we had to learn Spanish, but it's very, very like white formal Spanish. I didn't know that there was a difference. So like I start talking to these people and it'd basically be like the equivalent to being like, hello, my name is Cody. How are you today?
This little white kid.
And it was like these like hardened farmhand, like some of them like, some of them like drug dealers on the side, you know, like real fucking hardened dudes that like speak slang, you know. I had no idea that was a thing.
I have a theory and it's wild, but you were the first black person up here, probably. And it's wild to say that. I have a theory about black people. Here's the thing. Black people are like white people. There's Scandinavian, there's German, there's Italian, there's Irish. Like, I think like white people don't get their due diligence of like,
there's different categories.
Yeah, differentiating,
right,
you guys.
Right,
because
right.
Like some people are tweaky and like straight up racist, but then there's other white people that are like, yo, I'm a like a real ass person. Like I'm a regular person. And that's how I feel like even growing up in Woodbury, like, cause some of the trauma I even had was growing up in Woodbury. Cause
yeah,
like,
that's why our friend Mitch isn't here. Actually, he's a big racist.
Yeah, he's scared of black people.
That's so. Mitch is not. Mitch is not. No.
Thank you for preaching for him. 100%.
He's gonna be listening to this. Be like, those motherfuckers.
I have a philosophy 100%. On racism. Because that's the thing. Like, I've gotten a lot of heat from both sides. Like, I've gotten racism from white people and from black people. And like I said, like how white people are differentiated, black people are differentiated. African people are African. Okay.
Okay.
They're African. Like, that's a form. Like, it's just like if somebody was Indian and came here, that's how their parents are acting.
Do you consider Somalian people to be black people?
They're African.
100%. That's considered African.
It's in Somalia. Is in Africa, dumbass.
Well,
what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's here's fair. The thing. Like, my definition of black fair. Is like, I think black is a American-made product. Like, black is from America. You can't get black anywhere else besides America. Because anybody calls black is mostly stereotypes. But like, even in like Japan or whatever, like, if you're called black, they're thinking American black. There's no other. There's like African. There's Kenyan. There's all this.
Oh,
other
that's
stuff.
So fucking true, dude. I never looked at it like that.
Because, like, in my opinion, Africa, like, Africa is called Africa because Britain took over and like everybody else, like, people got yeah. taken over. So some African people know their actual tribes that they came from.
That's crazy.
And that's what I like. I appreciate.
But even
like that,
even though. On a smaller scale, think about this. Like, if you put someone from Minnesota, Texas, California, and New York in the same room, you would for sure be able to tell at least what area they're from. Just based yeah, on how accent, they talk, like, yeah. their mannerisms.
But that's black people,
it's a
too.
Different, it's like a different person.
Growing up, like, that's the thing. And me and my sister is like, I think, 2.5 or 3 years older than me. So at a time, we both were in high school together. And we had different experiences. Because she had the typical, like, oh, no, you are the black girl. You get treated different. And my sister wasn't like, you're a stereotypical black girl. Like, she listened to like Fall Out Boy and rock music.
Taylor
and,
Swift.
Nah, she didn't fuck with Taylor. I fuck with T-Swift, big facts. But like, she don't fuck with T-Swift. She like Paramore and like all that stuff. So like, in good music, 100%. But she didn't experience, like, she, it's hard to describe it. She got like kind of boxed out of a lot of opportunities because my sister's so smart. Like, for as much as people call me smarter, intelligent for a lot of things I know, my sister is like a fucking AI compared to me. Like, 110%.
She's got that GPT-4.
That's my sensei. Yes, big fact. So, like, she had a way different experience because I was able to see what was going on and assimilated to white people. So I knew, like, oh, I'm not doing this. Like, oh, that's kind of gay. Like, I'm cool on that. Like, but that's a, like, and not saying, like, white culture is gay or anything, but you guys are more flexible with your sexuality. That you can joke about other things.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. White people totally. Get away with a lot more sus jokes.
That's like
110%.
That's like, but no, that's, I think that's like a part of the culture though. Like, as a kid Facts. Growing up, like, it was funny to make like homosexual
like
jokes with your buddies.
No,
that was like the thing. I mean, that's like the low hanging fruit, you know?
And that's what I like. That it's a very big difference, I think, in black cultures because like sex is like a bad thing. Either somebody had sex too early and it, like, fucked them up, or somebody had sex in their life and it fucked them up. So it was like, you're teaching your kids, like, nope, you're not having sex ever. Not talking about sex, you're not doing any of that. Like, my birds and the bees talk was, like, in the Duluth prison with my dad. And he's like, you know what sex is? And I'm like, yep, at this point, yeah. Like, he asked me when I was, like, in 10th grade. I'm like, I found out about that shit late, but like not that late. Like, I knew what that shit was. And he's like, oh, okay. So, you know, like the whole birds and the bees. And to be honest, I didn't know the whole story of the birds and the bees, but I just agreed to it. And he's like, yeah, you know what a penis is and a vagina. I'm like, yep. And I was like, oh, this is awkward. Like, still to this day, I'll tell my mom I'm a virgin. 100%. I got 2 kids. I'm still a virgin.
They ain't mine.
It's not an acceptable thing to get into the sexuality.
Which is weird because I feel like, you know, normal, I guess, like white culture, I don't think nobody really ever has that talk. I think you just assume everyone knows and it just is at that. Like, it's uncomfortable situations.
Dude, I dreaded that talk. It never happened.
My birds and the bees talk was, I was like, I think I was 12 or 13. My dad came home with a box of condoms and threw them at me. And he was like, I don't want to be a grandpa. That was it. That was the only time we ever talked about it.
You're like, do I put this on my hand?
I was like, no. That's the thing. I knew what it was for.
Remember, we established the bus.
Yeah, that's true.
The bus, that is where you got your shit, was the bus.
You always saw this on the bus. This was always going
that's
on
what,
the bus.
Yo, that's what Woodbury was. I was tweaking out. I'm like, how does everybody know about this? Because I didn't know what sex was. Because I thought sex was something, and then people kept saying like, oh, I fucked your mom. to each other. I'm like yo, damn. That's fighting words if you said that to me, but go ahead, you guys are friends. But people would say that, and I'm like, okay, sex has to be something different than fuck. Like, fuck is like, seems like very derogatory. And I'm like, nuns aren't fucking out here. Like, they're probably having sex.
No, but nuns don't have sex. But
then, yeah, I found that out. Like, they I didn't don't. Know that at all. And I'm like, okay, like maybe this, like there's a difference of what sex was. The first time I realized, like, here's a trauma story. First time I saw porn, I was looking up a school project for Calvin and Hobbes. Like, that was my project.
The cartoon.
Yeah. I'm on Google, and I see a perfect picture. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to use this in my PowerPoint. Click on that picture. Pops up just a blonde woman with big tits squirting in front of, like, cameras and everybody. Oh, I'm like, God. What is going on? I didn't drink water for 2 weeks. I'm like, yo, is this where water comes from? What the fuck is happening right now? Like,
that is a little traumatic if you're not expecting it.
I did not drink water. I kid you not. I'm like, yo, this can't be. It looked like water. Damn. And I'm like, nah, this
that's actually
wild.
Crazy. Again, I think the first time I ever saw porn was on the bus. It was like some kid like had a nudie mag in his backpack, like, check this out. And just passing it around.
Minnesota politicians, stop focusing on the Twin Cities.
Yeah. Focus on the rural areas, the buses. That's where we need to crack down.
That's where everything goes down, 100%. Because, man, that's why I didn't become a teacher. I realize all the teachers around here are, like, not really for kids.
No, hell no.
At all. They're really for themselves and a paycheck. And it's like, one.
Which is,
like,
crazy because they don't even make that much anyway.
Facts.
So, like, why even care about
that? I went to that
money?
Teacher strike, the Minneapolis one. Oh, bro, yeah. I was so pissed off. It was in the middle of the cold. I'm like, yo, you know what? I'm in school at Hamlin. I'm going for education. Like, I'm a see what they're talking about. As soon as I heard George Floyd, I was like, this shit is crazy. Because I'm like, what does this nigga have to do with teaching? I'm like, where's your kids? What are we fighting for? What's the like, power or the pinpoints? Like, the topics you want to talk about, like, what's the serious stuff? And they're all like, oh, we need to get paid more. George Floyd went through too much. And then they started playing music and dancing. I'm like, yo, I can't be a teacher.
Yo, this ain't
I'll be out of a job. I'll be fighting somebody. Like, I'm like, yo, you're an idiot. Like, what the fuck are we doing? And, like, St. Paul is more level-headed. They come to settlements, 100%. They're not fucking around. They're like, we want you to teach our kids. But Minneapolis is, like, kind of a show, a stage of some sort.
Totally.
And everybody, like, people from the teachers union out in New York came to the strike or protest or whatever it was called. And they were the ones saying nonsense. And I'm like, yo, you're what we're supposed to be looking up to? Like, that's kind of shitty.
Yeah, like, this is what the
it's like
the young generation.
Really political.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, this isn't even about education. Yeah.
Like, kids are really going through, like, even when I was a student teacher at a certain elementary school, like, I was in a, I think a fifth grade class, because they didn't go up to sixth grade. I was in a fifth grade class, and all these kids are talking to me like straight up adults. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck is happening right now? Like, everybody wants to baby them. They can't understand what they're saying. They're like, oh, nope, just keep writing. Don't worry. Don't think about it.
What the fuck are you doing right now?
Hot. I'm fucking dying. Fucking, it's hot in here.
You need to get dog, look at how you look on camera right now.
Dude,
what are you
it's
doing?
It's hot as fuck in here.
What?
Dude.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, Keith. That was just like so distracting. What is going on?
Shake your fucking head at me, Sam.
Dude, I was just staring. I saw the headphones come off.
I'm like, what are you doing right now? Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm sorry. I did not mean to interrupt. I just had to. I had to bring it to attention. Okay, so you're student teaching at a certain elementary school, unnamed.
The teachers are like trying to kind of baby these fifth graders, but I'm sitting here having a conversation with this kid who's like, yo, yeah, my dad lets me watch rated R movies, but he says, don't tell my mom. And he's like, I watched this movie, and this movie. I'm like,
You're like, damn.
This dude is 20. What the fuck? Like, in his brain, like, this kid is smart, but he couldn't read. Because COVID, like, messed up a lot of kids.
Oh, I fucking bet it, dude. I didn't even think to, like...
They can't
read. Those like, youngins in those early years.
Because I think of myself when I was younger, like, I didn't learn to read how everybody learned to read. Because I had ADHD and didn't really know about it. I learned how to read off of, like, if I saw a word and heard somebody say it. And I associated that, like, somebody saying it to that word. Mm. So I knew what words meant. But then, like, when I got suspended, I could not spell a word. But I could point it out probably.
Damn, that's actually crazy.
So it was, like, a weird concept. And even the, like, I paid, since I was, like, focused on school a lot, I paid attention to the, like, schooling system of St. Paul and, like, or Ramsey County and South Washington County. And basically, like, it's a complete different school system where the St. Paul school system, the teachers are trying. They just don't have the money. In the South Washington County School District, they got the money. They just don't give a fuck.
Right.
Because they went to school for college. They're yeah. Like, I'm the teacher. And it's like, you don't even know how to relate to kids. Like, you don't even know how to talk to kids, yeah, let alone teach them. Like,
it's fucked up. Yeah. It's a whole game. It's a whole game.
But shout out Ms. Kelsenberg. 100%. My sixth grade teacher.
Shout out Ms. Kelsenberg.
She put it, she linked up with my mom. That's the scariest thing. Like, I was invincible until the teacher, like, called my mom. Because when I was younger, I used to tell teachers I was adopted. So I'm like, call my parents, bro. They're not even my real parents.
I don't give a shit.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Even though I know I'm getting ass whooping, like 110%. Yeah. But it got to sixth grade where she was the first teacher to actually sit me down and, like, give me choices of what I wanted to do. And I'm like, oh, damn, like, you're treating me like somebody who, like, because I at the time, like, Woodbury had bus monitors. So you got to stand up on a bus, wear a vest and, like, this whole badge and tell people to shut up. 100%.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to do that because people on my bus were annoying as hell. And
I thought you were saying, like, they would keep track of you, like, what, where you were at. I was thinking, like, an ankle monitor or something. I'm like, damn.
Like, you know that cartoon Fillmore?
No.
Mm-mm.
Heard of it?
Ah, you should Google that. Like, he was like a hall monitor.
Okay.
Basically.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, only black cartoon on Disney, by the way. 100%. Shout out Fillmore.
Damn, that's sorry, probably why. I missed that one.
No, it yo, Disney.
Hey,
Disney
no, was proud hitting. Family.
Hey, hey. Hey.
Proud
you guys
family.
Did not have black people up here. Relax.
Hey, we had two.
That's not enough. They're probably African.
We have had more black people on this podcast than were in the entire Pine City school system when I went through
it. That is a
good
heard
you point. Say I'm that not even kidding, podcast. Dude. I can't lie. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like,
you said you went to Bemidji State and, like, the football team was like,
bro,
I was crying when you were like, they taught me, like, if you dap up a black person and they snap, they fuck with you, but then they didn't snap with you.
Right I'm after like, bro,
I would have snapped with you 100%.
Dude, so we were in Ohio and we had a black comedian on, Elijah Neville, shout out, and he shook up with me when we first met up and snapped, and I looked at my buddy Mitch, who's on the pod. I'm like, excited. I got the snap, dude. Like, I'm not kidding, bro. It was not a joke to me. I felt like when he snapped, I was like, oh my God, dude, he fucking snapped.
So my best friends, right? And this is how I knew that was genuine. Cause, like, there's no hate in that. Cause some people can take it the wrong way and be like, oh, whatever. Like, no, that's somebody appreciating a different culture. You just got to see it. Because, like, I had an opportunity, and both of my best friends are completely different sometimes when it comes to, like, social issues. Like, my friend Brayden, we have a bunch of 9/11 jokes that should never be aired ever in life. But my friend Caleb, he's more on the sensitive side and emotional. And we need that, 100%. But when it came to the opportunity, we were on Omegle at a time when it was hot.
Yeah.
So, like, it came to the opportunity, we get to these people, and it was a black kid and a white kid, and they were friends, and he threw me under the bus, I think. And I was so pissed off, because we never had to talk about the N-word or anything. Like, they were like, oh, we're not going to say it. And I'm like, cool, finally. Like, some people who are not like, oh, can I say this?
Can
and it's like, I don't fucking know if you can say this. Like, you might get beat up by somebody else, but, like, me, I'm not going to beat you up unless you tell, like... Call me that. Like, if you just want to say the word, like, I can't control that shit. Like, whatever. But it got to the point the kid was like, oh, yeah, I gave him the pass. He can say it. And I'm like, and this is where I knew, like, both of my best friends were completely different. my friend Braden was like, nope, I don't want this smoke. I'm out. I never want to say that word. Whatever, it's not a word I need to use. My friend Caleb, his face lit up. He's like, oh, I told you that happens. I died because I'm like, man, this man was thinking this whole time. He's like, I'm not cool enough. He doesn't call me that. He doesn't say this around us. And I'm like, no, y'all not. Like, I speak to like people how like I speak. But at the same time, if I don't need to call you a nigga, I don't need to call you that.
Yeah, but there is something to that, though. You talk different in different groups.
Some people call it code switching, 100%, but like,
oh, I've never heard a name for it before.
Yeah,
code switching.
Yeah,
I like that.
And it's like, some, it does have a negative connotation, but at the same time, it's something that every like minority has done.
Yeah,
and it's not a black thing. It's a
minority. My Mexican friend Jose, 100% he would do that.
Yeah,
if we'd be like around my mom or like my grandma, he would sound like he was a little white boy. Like, facts. His accent would change. He'd get rid of everything.
I'm not trying and to have
when,
you guys
when
kick
it's
me
just
out.
Like me, yeah. When it's just like me and him, then I'm like, I'm only understanding like every third word he's saying because he's like talking in like a Spanglish, you know, like a mix.
So but that's like, how you knew he was comfortable with you. That's real, 100%. Because like, I don't, as a like a minority, you don't, sometimes you're not comfortable talking like that. Or talking in your regular self because people have stereotypes of you. Mm. Like even in Woodbury and stuff, like I had stereotypes on both sides of the spectrum because one, people thought I was mixed because they never saw my dad, but they never saw my mom either because my mom wasn't like in PTA or like came to meetings. She came to like maybe some, what is it called? Conferences or whatever, but I was usually in trouble during that. So she didn't like those. So, like, people didn't really know what I was. So, they thought I was mixed because I would talk a certain way. But I'm like, no.
And was, like, why they thought you were, like, half white?
Like, oh, you talk
you
white.
You talk white.
Yeah. And I'm like.
Dude, that's got to just
bother
the hell out of
you. I talk like this because I got to, like, you guys won't understand what I'm saying. I grew up with a dad who said Joe all the time. Like, the first time I started, like, talking normal in front of my friends and stuff, like, I said bet one time. And I kid you not, my friend Caleb was like, I don't what. And I'm like, I can't. Dude, I gotta explain everything. And I'm like,
I know
yo.
Exactly what you're saying, dude. We had a kid from Coon Rapids move to Pine, and he was a white kid, and he just started saying bet. And we're like, dude, bet on what? What the fuck does that even mean? Little do we know, a year goes by, bet is like the slang that everybody uses now. Yeah,
and that's like kind of like it's newer slang, but I grew up on different slang of like, my dad called everybody Joe, a Mark, Mog, like different words people don't understand at all. So I'm like, I can't say this. So I got to like learn a new language, kind of.
That's
so
crazy.
You don't think I'm going to rob
it
you.
It is. It's a totally different
like,
language.
Yeah, 100%. Because like, that's why I can't even get a corporate job. 100%. I keep saying 100% and dope and all this other stuff that kids relate to. But at the same time, like this old professional white person is like,
what the fuck?
We don't need him
you
in here.
You can't talk like that.
And I'm like, no, you do need me in here because, like, my LinkedIn, I got over 500 connections. And I'm going to say dope every fucking time. Like, and that's a lot of stuff, like, I've dealt with, like, when I was younger. That's why I appreciate Ye so much now because, like, I wish he was like that when he first came out. Cause I was all on that wave of like, oh, you're the weird black kid. Like,
yeah.
You like skateboards. You like manga. I was the first kid, white, black, whatever, with a Shonen Jump subscription,
those were fire.
Bro. The thick ass.
Read them backwards.
Yes.
You read them right to left.
I can't. Still to this day, I open like American books like the wrong way because I'm like, ah, I've read too many manga books.
That's 100%. Crazy. I had a ton of those Shonen Jump books.
Yeah, so like I wasn't like your typical. Everybody thought like, oh yeah, you should be hood and oh, you're not black because you don't sag your pants and act like the other
and
black.
Your sister's
people.
Listening to Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, and I'm like, yo, that shit, like that's regular shit. Like people selling drugs, people doing all this like. That's regular shit. We don't want to go back to that. Like the first time I heard a prison story from my dad, I was like, "Yeah, I'm a civilian. I'm a suburban dude." Like that whole Kodak Black.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm a suburban dude.
Big
facts. Yo, he saw a video in jail, in prison, of a cartel member. Like they had a woman slicing off her head with not a sharp knife.
Whoa.
He said it took a long time and she didn't even scream at all. She's like, and he said after that, they threw her body in a tub of acid. And I was like, yeah, damn. Street life, not for me.
Allegedly?
Yeah, fuck, dude.
I don't know what them niggas are doing. I don't know if it's allegedly or not. I don't fuck with the cartel. That's all I got to say.
Heard that. Well, boys, what do you think we wrap this thing up here?
Yeah, Keith, dude, this is... I learned.
Where can everyone find you? Where can... Plug your socials.
Yeah, so Avery20GA. It's pronounced Avery20Gage, but Avery20GA is my photography or photo artistry, I like to call it, account. And... you don't want to follow my personal. You guys, I'll send you guys my personal. I say a lot of wild shit. I like politics and like talking about the hypocrisies.
Oh, I like that. Oh, yeah. I like American that. Yeah, people. Well, I need to get on your personal. Oh, yeah, so go. We'll link it in the description too, but go look up Avery20Gage. He's got some beautiful photos on there. Oh, buy you, some prints. Buy some prints. Support the boys.
Buy some frame photos. I link up with a local framing company in St. Paul. The Dow Gallery.
Hell yeah.
So I'm really trying to get into the fine art space. So
that's awesome.
I have a GoFundMe also. On my,
after this, we'll chat. We need to get a piece for the studio here. We need to hang something up.
Definitely. Yeah. I took while I was driving, I took a picture of the water tower.
Nice.
Too, so like,
we got a good view for you after this. We'll show you the roof.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah. Oh, fire. Wait, it's nighttime though.
It is. It's,
like if there's a lot of lights,
we got lights, I think.
Beautiful, but I'll come back.
We'll figure it out.
Yo,
we'll figure it out.
I like to call myself a sage. I like to travel to a lot of random places and random bars.
Oh, okay? Dude, we got a lot of bars.
Dude, I will
here.
Say I respected that you didn't even hesitate with the hour drive. We've had people be like, all right, send me the address. Oh, yo, you're an hour away.
Bro, people think Minneapolis to St. Paul is far. That's the thing. I know Minnesota from up to Duluth. And actually, when I was Googling to get here, I realized, I'm like, damn, how far north have I been? And I thought it was Duluth, but I used to play JUCO basketball, and we went to Rainy River.
Yeah.
Which is on the fucking...
Oh, damn, you've been up there.
Close to the border. Yeah. I don't even remember that car ride. I probably, like, took a nap or whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
I've been to a lot of places in Minnesota. The Twin Cities are not Minnesota. Like,
no.
That is not a definition
of Minnesota. It looks nothing
like
the rest of it.
No.
It looks nothing like it.
It's a New York. It's a slice of New York that got put here with a bunch of farmers who are like, who the fuck are these people? And like, they don't realize the Somalians and the Hmongs and everybody who came here refugees-wise, they're just like the farmers. They're like, yo, what the fuck are y'all doing? We came here to make a living. We came here to be peaceful. Like, enough with this like bullshit. 100%. Minnesota is a nice-ass place. So.
Yeah, it is.
Hell yeah,
it is.
Pine Keith, City's smooth. 100%.
Thank you for coming on the pod.
Oh, I
absolute
really
pleasure,
it.
Man.
Nice meeting you.
Thanks for having me. 100%.